Hello and welcome to The Ballpark, a podcast from the Phelan US Center here at the London School of Economics. I'm Chris Gilson, managing editor of the Phelan US Center's blog on US politics and policy, USAP. There is a growing belief that free market capitalism isn't working and needs to be reformed. While global markets have lifted billions of people out of poverty since the 1990s, markets have also fueled growing inequality, economic insecurity, and populist backlashes in rich and poor nations. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic and the return of great power rivalry, pressures to decouple, deglobalize, and reshore trade and investment have accelerated. Disenchantment with global capitalism is spreading. With this in mind, in the spring of 2024, the LSE Phelan US Center held an essay competition for master students. Students were asked to answer the question prompt, how should the United States work to shape the future of capitalism in this age of insecurity? To answer this prompt, we asked LSE master students to write in the style of a USAP blog post, less than 1,000 words, and aimed at a wide audience. After submission, the essays were judged by a panel of Phelan US Center staff and LSE academics. The essay competition winner was David Millman, an LSE student in the Department of Geography and Environment, who wrote that, to save global capitalism, the US needs to focus on the places that don't matter. The two runners-up were Yasmin Baptiste from LSE's Department of Methodology, who wrote the essay Beyond Basic, The Transformative Power of Guaranteed Income, and Manikam Valiappan from LSE's Department of Geography and the Environment, who wrote the essay Capitalism 2.0, Pre-Distribution, Not Just Redistribution. The winner and runners-up all had their essays published on our USAP blog. You can read them at blogs.lse.ac.uk/USAP blog. The winner and runners-up also attended an event in the UK Parliament in March 2024, where they presented and discussed their essays with members of the British American Parliamentary Group and other UK members of Parliament. In July 2024, I spoke to David Millman, Yasmin Baptiste, and Manikam Valiappan about their experiences of the essay competition. Can you introduce yourself and say what your program is?
My name is Yasmin Baptiste. I am doing the Applied Social Data Science program in the Department of Methodology.
Hello, my name is David Millman. I am a master's student in local economic development, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Hello, my name is Manikam Valiappan, and I am a master's in local economic development student here at LSE, the Department of Geography and Environment.
Can you each talk about how you found out about and why you entered the US Center's Master Students Essay Competition on Capitalism?
I found out about the program through a school-wide email. And in my data science program, I don't have a lot of opportunities to write essays. I'm mostly coding. And so I thought it was an exciting opportunity to be able to articulate my viewpoint on capitalism.
Yeah, I found out about it from, I think there was a YouTube video. And then there was the newsletter emails that get sent to our email addresses. And so that's how I found out about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I found out about it completely out of chance. I was just scrolling Instagram one day and I saw, I think, this post pop up on LSE's Instagram account. So I thought it would just be something that would be nice to contribute to. I mean, the first thought was a lot of people will be submitting, but I think that thought really wasn't strong enough to go ahead and probably contribute to the competition as well.
So the essay competition prompt was, how should the US work to shape the future of capitalism in this age of insecurity? Can you each give a very brief summary of your essay and its argument?
I start off my essay giving a definition of racial capitalism, which I argue is synonymous with capitalism. And in this explanation, I say that inherent in the system of capitalism, it is a system based on exploitation, specifically upon marginalized communities. And then I go on in my essay to argue that unconditional cash transfer programs could be a solution to move away from the system. And then I go on to give a few examples of programs that I worked on that have been successful.
So my argument was about the future of capitalism constructed from three central points backed from empirical data and current evolving thoughts on economic growth theory and development theory, basically that regional inequality has grown in the US and around the world, and it's been increasing since our recent period of globalization in the 1990s. And certain regions in the world have done a lot better than others. There's been areas with stagnant and even negative economic growth. And then there are other regions, the superstar cities, the New York, London, Paris, San Francisco, that have done really well. And so I went into an idea about regional inequality being connected to rising populism, nativism, and a retreat from international trade and deglobalization. And so what I looked at is the correlation between the voting patterns of these areas and the trends of left behind regions. So education levels, employment rates, those types of things. And seeing that robust correlation between the two, I then made the connection that the solving these regional inequalities would be the best way to address the future of capitalism, make sure it's the most inclusive, addresses inequality, you know, in this age of insecurity. And so what I concluded and what I went to as the policy prescription were place-based policies. So policies that are tailored towards specific regions, rather than having a lot of the policies be tailored or the incentives be brought to superstar cities, instead have them for regions that have been left behind. So have these areas have tailored policies, address the certain inequalities, the business inputs, the lack of resources, infrastructure, those types of things for each place specifically to embed economic activity in those areas. And so by doing that, you can not only increase opportunities for the largest amount of people, but you're also able to make it so you can address the growing populism and the sentiments that have been growing in the recent form of globalization. And so it's the regional inequality being tied with populism and the solution being place-based policies.
Yeah, it is quite amazing because my piece also has a lot of intersections with what David had to say, but I explore a much more broader nuance of inequalities. So in my piece, I first argue that there are certain inherent defects within capitalism that leads to rampant inequalities. And I explore inequalities such as intergenerational poverty and a lack of intergenerational mobility. I then amplify the concept of pre-distribution to mend these inequalities, which aims to mend inequalities before they have occurred, rather than mending these inequalities after they've occurred through redistributive policies. Adopting this conception of pre-distribution sort of opens up a range of public policy tools, such as active labor market policies, such as minimum wages, and also policies that enhance access to education and healthcare. This way, adopting pre-distribution sort of shifts the discussion towards whether we truly have equal access to opportunity, and if not, what can we do about it? I argue for pre-distributive policies, especially in the context of rapid technological progress, such as AI. And I believe this was discussed a lot, I believe, in the conference as well, because AI is bound to favor skill bias growth and potentially aggravate existing inequalities. Towards the end of my essay, and I think this is a crucial part of the essay, I call for a reform in how we view capitalism itself. Traditionally, we have viewed capitalism's problems from a very top-down lens, but most of the economic problems that we see are often geographically embedded, which David explored a lot, and it also has sociological undertones. This calls for an interdisciplinary approach in how we view capitalism itself, and I explore this at the end of my essay.
Yeah, I think it's a total coincidence. Money and I both enter the competition. We're actually in the same program of local economic development, but we did not talk about entering the competition at all. And so it makes sense that we have a lot of overlap in our essays and talking about the economic geography of redistribution is very similar to place-based policies. I think they're in many ways, different terms for the same policy prescriptions and the same issues. And so there's a lot of, I think, like you said, there's a lot of, I took a more geographic lens and you did more of a policy one. So I think we got to sort of get the full breadth of that approach to regional inequalities and economic inequality as well.
I did engage with the other essays. I thought mine was very different. Mm. particularly because I really, really focus on race, and I think that's central in when we talk about capitalism. I also come from this perspective, like from operations, just because I've worked on these cash transfer programs so intimately. And so when I think about policy, I really think about the nitty gritty of like how exactly we would implement these programs. So universal basic income, I think the person who's most associated with it is Andrew Yang. It was like one of the premise of his campaign. And basically, for a very simple explanation of it, it's when everybody gets a little bit of money, regardless of your standing economically. What I argue for, which is unconditional guaranteed income programs. So first of all, unconditional meaning that you can spend the money in whichever way that you like. And guaranteed income programs, and the way I describe it is that it's very targeted. And so one way I engage with that in my essay is that I talk about how machine learning algorithms can be used to target people in terms of like who should be getting this money based on the criteria that is set by the program. And then I also talk about community-centered approaches, which complement these algorithms in deciding who gets the money, how the money is sent, and how the program works generally. The program that I was most excited to talk about was the program in Georgia, which I worked on. It was actually the first program I led at my job. And we served 850 Black women in Georgia. And we gave them, or actually we are giving them money for 2 years. One group gets a set amount of money per month, and then another group gets a lump sum and then a smaller amount of money each month. And basically, they all get the same amount of money at the end of the day, but it's to see like, how do lump sums work? How does getting a consistent income every month work, and what is more effective? So that was the program I was most excited to talk about just because it was serving Black women. I had worked on it. So that was one of the examples.
And that program's very much like almost a natural experiment in that way. Like that's very rare in policy evaluation to have that ability to look at. That's very cool.
I'm not going to lie. Before I read your essay, I was actually quite unconvinced on cash transfers, but I think you explored it in a certain nuance, which was really nice. And also, I think the great thing about this competition is that it opens you up to new perspectives. For example, you look into the aspect of machine learning and social data science, and that was something that I'm also exploring in my line of work at this point. But slightly in a different GIS way. But it's great. I think that's the great thing about the competition is that it opens you up to new perspectives and new ways to think about things. Yep.
And perspectives about capitalism itself and understanding that concept and its immense interdisciplinary facets. I mean, there's just so many different ways to analyze capitalism and systems of capital, and people have written entire books and series of books on each of the topics that we were trying to condense into 1,000 words.
So how did you feel when you found out you were the winner and the runners up in the competition?
I was super excited. I think I mentioned I don't really write a lot in my program. I used to write essays more so in undergrad, and so I entered this competition because I really wanted to articulate my viewpoint, and I was so nervous that nobody would understand my opinion. And like, I was really nervous about submitting my essay. So when I won, I felt really validated, and I feel a newfound confidence in my voice.
When I found out I wasn't expect, I actually thought you were calling because there was something wrong with my essay. Like I thought that I had like entered some form wrong or something because I wasn't expecting it. It was amazing. I mean, part of the reason why I entered, well, there were two reasons. One was the nature of the format. So being able to do a blog and more of that type of writing versus a traditional academic essay was very unique. And then also the ability to present to the UK Parliament. And after the excitement of the call, then it kind of set in, oh, I gotta get ready for the, I gotta actually do the presentation and start preparing for it. So it was sort of like excitement anticipation, nervousness, all bundled into one.
Yeah, of course, I was super elated. I think that's the only thing that I can think of. But at the same time, there was this funny incident between David and I, in the sense that he basically texted me, texted on the group that there was some good news. And then I was like, oh, even I have good news. I don't know if you recall that. But I think there was a great wholesome moment over there. But right after that moment of elation, I think it was a bit of anxiety in terms of discussing this with the MPs. But in retrospect, I think that those feelings of anxiety weren't really justified because we had a brilliant experience and it was great. Yeah.
Do you think that the essay competition has been helpful or beneficial? So not just being the winner or runner up, has the process been helpful as well?
Absolutely. Recently, I've been really concerned about echo chambers, and I've also been really concerned about how I articulate my viewpoints and why I believe in my viewpoints, and am I getting stuck in my views so much, and am I getting information from people who only agree with me? And I don't think that is the person I want to be in terms of, if I only get information that affirms my viewpoints, I don't think that makes me a good leader. I don't think that makes me a person that has nuanced opinions. And so going through this process of articulating my ideas on capitalism, I thought it was really helpful, not only now, but for my dissertation, but also for my career as I go and interact with people and as I want to get into a career in politics.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have agreed to this podcast if I thought it wasn't helpful. I mean, I think that there's often an approach that I've noticed within academia and academics is that communication is not as emphasized as detail, and often it becomes this overload of terms and jargon and these specificities that you need, you know, to spend hours parsing through and trying to figure out. And the style of writing that we were engaging in is the type of writing that, you know, shapes the debates in the public sphere. I mean, you think about public policy, it's decided by the public. It's going to be something that we need to be able to understand, not only in the classroom, but also being able to articulate that in a way that can convince people of what we're trying to talk about, because these decisions are not made in the classroom. They're made in these chambers and, you know, in parliament, where this type of debate and writing is utilized. And so it's incredibly beneficial. And I'm sure we'll get into the actual presentation aspect, but the writing, regardless of the outcome of the contest, I think is useful for anybody who enters it.
I think I would like to highlight the point about the style of writing. I think that's been greatly pivotal for me as well, because I have written a lot of articles for national media publications back in India. But I think what was really, really different about this competition was that it was more research based. So it sort of tells you in a certain way, it sort of trains you in a way to ground your arguments in sound research. And I think that helped me a lot. This competition helped me a lot in doing that. To just style it in such a way that it is based on sound arguments and not just, you know, broad generalizations of the topic. So the style of writing is something that I would definitely agree with. And also the process itself, I think it teaches you a lot about the topic. I think generally you tend to choose a topic that you want to write on, that you have certain preliminary background already. But I think what this competition does is that it sort of extends that preliminary background. It sort of pushes you to explore the different nuances within that certain topic. So I think that's great.
How did you feel about having your work published to a wider audience on the Center's USAP blog?
I was nervous just because I tried to soften it in my essay, but I don't really see a future in capitalism, one that is sustainable or one that is based in inclusivity for all people. And so I was like, oh no, I'm so happy that I won, that, you know, I was a runner up in this competition, but how are people going to receive this? Ultimately it's been fine. So I felt, at first I was nervous, but now I think I'm just overall happy with the experience.
Yeah, I was expecting 500,000 visitors to my article. I think I was excited to have the ability to have my work not justified, but sort of validated by a center and a publication and the LSE in a way that it's not just something that I'm putting out. It's something that is tacitly endorsed by, you know, the academics and the center that you know, voted to promote it. And so, edited it and judged it and things like that. And so it was a very exciting, like any type of publication, to have something that you've said be promoted to a wider audience and have people who are, you know, I saw the social media posts and the Instagram and then Twitter and, or X, and those types of things being promoted. So it's really just a unique and very cool experience to have someone or an entire center promoting your work like they've done for the three of us.
Yeah, I would like to bring back the point about echo chambers back to this question, because when you open your article to such a wide audience, you are opening it up to a diverse set of perspectives. And that was also a great thing about this, is that the moment it was published, we did receive a lot. I did, at least. I received a lot of counter arguments, which sort of enhanced my own argument, from friends and family, of course. So the fact that you open it up to a diverse audience and you get a diverse set of perspectives, I think that greatly helps. Yeah.
In what ways did the essay competition enhance your experience as a master's student at LSE?
I think that a lot of what we do as master's students is learn within these very safe environments. And so we learn these concepts, and we're talking with like-minded people, and we're considering these ideas in a very safe place. And what this competition did, from entering your ideas to be judged, but then also having them be presented to Parliament and be, you know, contested and debated, it's a way, like we're discussing, breaking the echo chamber, but also, you know, giving yourself almost that trial by fire and being able to participate firsthand in those discussions that are ongoing. I mean, we see, you know, the way that these conversations are playing out with elections that have been going, you know, before and, you know, since in the spring, and with what's happening in France and the EU and these discussions around cohesion policy and place-based policy, the Green New Deal, all those things that are very tied to this, you know, idea of the future of capitalism. And so I think the way that it enhanced is that I can't think right now of any other experience like it at LSE, where you're able to engage with people who are, you know, in the arena. They're people that are engaging in these conversations, and you're able to not only enter that, but enter that as a full participant who is treated equally and on equal grounding, and have to defend your ideas in a way that you're trying, like, you're not going to be treated with kitty gloves, I think, which definitely enhances your ability, because that's how you're going to be treated once you graduate.
Yeah, I think my experience, how it enhanced my experience here, is that I would consider myself naturally as an anxious or a shy person. That's one of the reasons why I was so open to submitting to this competition, because it's not speaking, it's actually writing. But I have to say that there were a lot of indirect effects because this competition sort of gave me the confidence to participate more effectively in class. And, you know, I think this, you know, there were multiple set of indirect effects that I think should be mentioned here in terms of, you know, enhancing my confidence. But apart from that, I think that's contributed to my.
I would say the same thing about confidence as you said. Yeah.
I think if I can just add one extra point, I think another thing is that when you do this competition, it sort of pushes you to apply for other things as well within the within LSE. So, for example, we had this LSE festival, Power and Politics. So it's sort of, when you participate in one competition, it sort of gives you the momentum to participate in other events as well. So I think it was greatly helpful in that context as well.
Can you talk a bit about your experience of presenting your essays in Parliament and talking to MPs about capitalism?
In terms of my essay, I thought it was an interesting experience. I still want to pursue a career in politics. I'm still really passionate about it. I just also know that I'm not the biggest debater. I love being in the background and like working in that way. And so I thought it was a wonderful experience to learn like what I think my lane is in my career.
I had particularly argued a lot about minimum wages and active labor market policies. It was nice to receive questions on the feasibility of it, because a lot, on many occasions, you think about normative discussions and what ought to be done, rather than really looking at the feasibility aspect of things. I still think minimum wage is feasible, but it was nice to be quizzed on it because that made me think about how it is feasible in different contexts. So this is where, again, I think the policymaking aspect comes into play, where they ask you whether it's actually feasible and to turn that into a policy. So that was very informative. And I think it really did teach us how to, I think, or at least it sort of pushes you to engage in persuasive arguments rather than, you know, arguing for the sake of arguments. I think the persuasion aspect of it was something that was amplified because of the session. And it was just, overall, it was just nice to see that there were a diverse set of perspectives in the room.
So I had to give essentially a speech or a presentation about my argument, and that, which I think was about 10 minutes long. And then I was asked questions about it, along with the runners up. And I think I was the most surprised that it was not, it was less of a conversation and more of a debate. And I think that's where a lot of the value of it comes from, because, you know, the reason why these policies are not mainstream, or these policies are not being enacted, is because there are groups and large amounts of people that disagree with them. And so being able to address the concerns and address the arguments against them is incredibly important, especially to, like we've been, you know, a common theme is breaking out of this echo chamber. And I think it's, that was the most effective exercise in that. For my entire experience, it started with preparing the speech, and then I met with the center and Chris and the staff. So I went over the the ways that would be the most effective presentation. And so going over length, you know, with speeches, you always want to make sure that you're slower, that you let spaces and pauses be present, get rid of filler words and all of that. And so when I was able to present, I had a lot of preparation with the center that was really, really helpful, especially because I hadn't done a presentation like in that context. And so being able to practice that skill and practice that type of engagement was really effective. And then especially practicing some of the questions. It was very interesting, because we were treated like equals, I think, was the biggest takeaway, which I did really appreciate, because it was something where they were considering us not even as students, but almost as, I wouldn't say experts, but as people with something to say that was of value, and that they felt like they could address in the way that they would, like any other figure in Parliament or in, you know, British politics. And so that was a very a rewarding experience, I think, because it really gave you an insight into what a day-to-day, I mean, I'm also someone who's interested in politics, and I think having that sort of like peek into what those debates will be like and the ways that I can improve in my strategies and my responses and everything like that, it was an incredibly rewarding experience. And then, you know, but I think that we all held our own with our arguments and everything.
Has taking part in the essay competition given you any new perspectives on capitalism or any part of your experience as a student?
I am more empowered on my viewpoint on capitalism more than ever. I think I am right. And I am happy that I can feel more confident in my argument. That's the thing that I really enjoyed about this whole experience. I have opinions, but then I'm not entirely sure sometimes what is the evidence I have in terms of those opinions. And so when going through this process and talking with politicians and writing my essay, I was like, okay, there's something here. Like, So it didn't change my opinion, but I don't think that's a fault. I think that was an amazing experience, and I am just more confident in my viewpoint and my worldview.
Yeah, I think with the concept of, like, the concept of capitalism is so broad, and intentionally so for this contest, because it gave, you know, the leeway for us to engage in many different directions, like we did in our essays. And so for me, the idea of capitalism, my biggest takeaway is that there's so many different facets of capitalism and the ways that they can be analyzed. And probably, if I'm being completely honest, I'm uninformed in a lot of them. And I think that there's a lot of work for me and anybody who's wants to engage in these types of conversations and these types of debates to educate themselves on, you know, the ways that it intersects with race, with gender, with class, with all of these different ways that capitalism affects different groups of people and different groups of people differently. You know, there's a lot of work for me to do in that regard to be able to come to the best policy prescriptions, which is the end goal, is to have, you know, an understanding and education about the theories and ideas about capitalism that, you know, that go hand in hand with making sure that you have the most informed opinion and that you're able to defend it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Yasmin. I think I've also been super empowered on my own opinion after the whole exercise. I think predistribution also has been amplified a lot of late. I think recently is being amplified a lot in a lot of public policy and academic circles. So that sort of gives you more of an impetus to your own argument. But at the same time, I think what did this show that this whole exercise did show me is that how to argue effectively is to look at certain gaping holes within your own argument and how to present it in a different manner so that people who disagree with you, they can, instead of like it becoming a situation where it's a stalemate, where they actually, you know, try to figure out some common ground. So I think the art of arguing effectively is something that I understood from this entire exercise, rather than, you know, having a complete, you know, polar opposite perspectives and things. So definitely more empowered on my own opinion, but also I think I have learned how to effectively argue. Yep.
I would agree with that. I mean, employing creativity to convince somebody of your argument is so hard, but also so rewarding. The creative process in writing is so beautiful, and I'm happy to have been able to do that through this program.
So is the competition a good opportunity for LSE students? And what would you say to others considering entering the contest?
Absolutely. I think it's a great opportunity. Coming from tech and a tech program, oh, I've missed writing so much. And this was just an amazing outlet to really exercise that in my creativity and writing. And I would just say, like, if someone is considering entering the competition, like, speak with your voice, speak sincerely, and speak in a way that also is empathetic to what you're talking about.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you said. For anybody that's thinking about entering it, definitely don't try to form your answer into a way that you think the judges or the center wants to hear. I would try, because then it's not going to be rewarding for you. It's not going to be helpful in in understanding what you believe better, which is sort of the goal of the writing process in a lot of ways. I definitely think it's a great opportunity. It's like you said, it's an outlet, and it's a very unique outlet in a lot of ways, to write about an issue, that's selected, by the center, and then also accompanied by a lot of materials that you can review. You know, this had the event in the fall, and then, you know, talks and, you know, had been discussed. And so you're able to engage with a lot of literature and people, from a different perspectives. But yeah, I 100% think it's something that's incredibly rewarding and that people should enter. There's no downside. And it's also a very good way to practice, being concise in your writing. I mean, 1,000 words is not that long, which is a good thing, because then it means that if you know, it takes a lot to refine it, but it's also, you know, it's not like you're writing a thesis. It's an accessible, a length to explain your ideas and your thoughts. But I think for anybody considering entering it, it's really great. And then if you have the chance to, engage in the parliament portion as well, it's just a very unique experience. And it's sort of, I mean, this might sound very cheesy and like I'm, you know, on the LSE admissions Instagram page, but this is sort of like one of those things where I said to myself, well, this is why I'm at LSE, is to do things like this.
Yeah, I definitely think people should submit it if the competition occurs again, and I hope it will. I think this competition is not about winning or being a runner up. I think the entire process itself is very intellectually enriching. Personally, I mean, I was telling David the other day, I didn't think that, you know, I would be a runner up. I mean, of course, like, did I believe in my argument, and was it a sound argument? Yes. But I always thought that LSE had a lot of bunch of other perspectives which also deserve portrayal. But at the same time, it really isn't about winning. It really isn't about being a runner-up. It's just about the process itself. It's super intellectually enriching. That being said, I think also play to your strengths. I think one great thing about LSE is its diversity. There's a diversity of perspectives from different disciplines that I think it is one of its primary strengths as an institution. So definitely try to show your perspective of things. Try to bring your discipline and show what your discipline has to say about the respective topic. So definitely it's a brilliant opportunity for anyone.
Just a quick sidebar question. Did any of you attend the information session we held before the deadline?
I was sick, but I did get a recording from you. So I did watch it.
So was the recording helpful?
Yeah. I think the recording and then the materials on the page, if we're just going into general advice, the recording had a lot of information and advice around the ways, the type of writing that this blog style is looking for. And so with having the hyperlinks, with sort of the accessible language, what's your audience that because you're trying to go for an educated, but not an expert audience. You're trying to make it very accessible. Anybody can pick it up if they're generally informed and understand what you're saying and get something out of it. And so I think that the session and then the materials on the page really had a lot of advice on that. I'm also a big proponent of trying to spend a lot of time getting a good title and having like a catchy title and having a good hook for the beginning, making sure that you get your reader attention in the first paragraph, and then, you know, concluding with sort of like a summary in a snappy way. I think that's, you know, a good way to sort of frame your argument. But yeah, they had a lot of advice. You had a lot of advice.
Yeah, I did see the recording as well. I did not attend the live session, but I did see the recording as well, and it was super helpful. But I think another thing that was incredibly helpful was to look at the past essays, especially because I personally tend to get a bit too technical with the essays. I think looking at the other essays sort of gives you an idea of how to approach the prompt. So definitely looking. Also, I heard the podcast that was conducted the previous year. That was also helpful to just get an idea and sort of you know, to be in the groove of the competition.
I also listened to the recording. I don't have much more to add. I mean, all the materials were exceptionally clear. And I thought that I had a really clear idea of who I was speaking to, how I should say it, and just the format and everything. So yeah, it was great materials, honestly.
I feel like the most important thing is to have your argument be sound and have it be something that you believe in, and that you get it in on time.
Very important to get in on time. Just to round things off, I just want to ask, and feel free not to answer the question if you're not comfortable, but just we really need to know what you're doing next after you finish your programs.
I'm going to tell you what I want to do. I'm really pleased with what I'm doing right now, but what I would like to do is to work at an organization that supports activists and politicians with their campaigns. And so I am hoping to work on machine learning algorithms that support these organizations and communities.
I will be flying to California. I'm starting at Stanford Law School in the fall. Hopefully studying some combination of housing law, tenant protections, community development, sexual violence prevention, that type of stuff.
Yep. I'm looking to do a PhD in economic development, not for this cycle, but the next cycle of admissions. But in this filler period, I'm applying for certain research positions that would help me garner some experience in terms of academic research. So that's the short-term plan. But the long-term plan is, of course, to engage either in a public sector or development bank organization.
David Millman, Yasmin Baptiste, and Menachem Villayapan are LSE master students. And that's it for this episode of The Ballpark. Thanks to David Millman, Yasmin Baptiste, and Menachem Villayapan for joining us in this episode. For more information about the Phelan US Center and our essay competition, go to www.lse.ac.uk/united-states. And keep an eye on our social media feeds for details about our next competition. On Twitter and Instagram, we're at @LSE_US, and on Facebook and LinkedIn, we're LSE United States. This extra inning was produced by Chris Gilson and Anderson Tan. Our theme tune is by Ranger and the Rearrangers, a Seattle-based gypsy jazz band. You can look them up at rangerswings.com. To listen to all our previous episodes, just enter LSE Ballpark into your search engine of choice. You'll find us. We're free to listen to, and unlike lots of other podcasts, we're ad-free. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. You can email us any feedback at uscenter@lse.ac.uk, or you can send us a tweet at @LSE_US and tell your friends about us. The content and opinions expressed in this podcast do not reflect those of the Phelan US Center or of the London School of Economics. Thanks for listening.